Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Steve Rosenblum. It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Dang right. 708 Texter, the best, suckiest show on radio. Good morning. And now it's good afternoon. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We're going to talk White Sox, so I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry in advance. I'm not sorry to be joined by our next guest on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Because there's always the details. Jim Margalis of Sox Machine, what I admire, what I love is you just notice things, Jim. You notice things, you have a unique ability to put them in, to layer them, put them in perspective, to have the right details where I need to know them, which only makes my palm hit my forehead more often. But I wanted to mention that and thank you for all the pain you're about to dole out to our listening audience, Jim.
Well, I really appreciate that intro, I think.
I think when
you write about the White Sox and spend time talking or writing or thinking about the White Sox, I think you just have to take whatever compliments you get, because otherwise you can catch some crossfire.
You can. I appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate the way you have gone about dissecting all the many problems. And while we'll get to Lenin Sosa and the manager's refusal to take Leury Garcia out, because you just can't live without a 188 hitter, and God knows, how could you play a rookie or an unknown because look how Yermin Mercedes saved their team last year, saved their season last year early. But what the Baltimore Orioles did so flashily, if that's a word, and if it's not, I just used it yesterday, they caught the ball, they made throws, they made defensive plays. One of the things that is inexcusable for this Hall of Famer baseball person manager is, in my world, to see this team can't catch, throw the ball, can't make the right play. They can't save themselves from looking worse, and they can't save their pitchers from throwing more pitches because innings get extended by sloppy fielding. Of all of the things that gall you about the White Sox, the team you want to write about winning, where does that rank, and how often does that creep up on you?
It's up there, but I think I treat it more as a byproduct of the White Sox not hitting home runs. I think, you know, the idea was with, you know, an outfield that featured in some kind of permutation, Eloy Jimenez, Andrew Vaughn, and Gavin Sheets rotating through quarter spots, you know, you're not going to get range there. You're not going to get a whole lot of coverage. You're going to be relying on Luis Robert and fill-in work from Adam Engel. And then AJ Pollock showed up late, but I don't think he was part of the original construction of this roster. But I think the idea was that they're going to give up some hits. They're going to give up some extra bases because of some, you know, whether it's poor routes or just lack of coverage, lack of range, but they're going to make up for it with homers. And when you're getting out-homered at home with this kind of lineup and with these kind of compromises you're making elsewhere on the team, that's when it really hurts. So I think, you know, it's annoying, certainly, to watch the Orioles run circles around them in the outfield, but I think it's, you know, doubly so when you realize, like, oh, they're not even getting the offensive benefits of having this poor defensive outfield they're rolling out there.
Talk with Jim Margalis of Sox Machine here on The Score. Steve Rosenblum in Saturday Suckage with you. So, of course, we're talking Sox. The pitching staff, I don't know. It seems tenuous at this point. You're getting enough performances that, as you talk about, if you got power, if you got home runs, if you could score runs. But when you're not scoring runs, I don't know the resistance to putting anybody, even a Lenin Sosa, in who seemed to have skipped a level. What are you, a lineupista? Do you, whatever the current Sox manager has done, do you have major issues with it? Is it just simply a function of whoever can throw down the cane or the walker and get up and bat, that's who's going to bat? How do you look at that today?
I think, generally speaking, with lineups, I don't really get too hung up on one guy hitting it from another, as long as the best hitters, or I should say, as long as the worst hitters are not getting in the way of the best hitters. So, you know, whether it's 1-5, 1-6, you know, whoever Luis Robert was hitting or whoever Tim Anderson was hitting before he took off the leadoff spot, you know, Andrew Vaughn, as he was trying to get ready to prove himself to be somebody who didn't need to be platooned and didn't need to be shielded against good right-handed pitching, like, people would be complaining about him hitting sixth. And I'm like, well, he's hitting in the top six, you know, don't really care that much. You know, in time, I think it'll even itself out. So when I look at the lineup card, I more or less see who's starting, who's not available. But when it comes to, like, say, you know, Leury García batting leadoff or batting third, which is somehow worse than him batting leadoff, or Yasmani Grandal, when he didn't look, you know, when he obviously looked compromised by his lower body, like he wasn't getting his legs into a swing, and when it looked, you know, kind of week after week, series after series, that this is not going to be improving anytime soon, and to see him hitting third or fourth or fifth in the middle of things and being somebody who just dragged everything down, you know, that's where I started to notice it. When it comes to, like, a you know, Lenin Sosa batting first, that's the kind of thing where I know Jim Leland was a promoter of that kind of attitude. Like, when they'd call up a prospect, he'd bat him first or second, kind of sending the message that, hey, you're, now that you're on the roster, you're a major leaguer, we're not going to shield you. You know, you should feel as comfortable batting first as you are batting ninth. We believe in you. And so, like, for a game at a time, I don't get too hung up on, you know, just trying to be setting a tone, confidence booster, trying to give a different look, that sort of thing. But it is a little weird to see Sosa batting first after not playing at all yesterday, you know, starting García in front of them. And then when it came to, like, later in the game with Gavin Sheets batting for himself against the lefty reliever, not bringing Sosa in for that either. So it is a little bit of a whiplash in terms of, you know, you go from one game where Sosa isn't able to start for a team that, you know, because they desperately need a competent offensive effort, so they roll García out there and Sheets against the lefty, to him batting first after losing two games in a row to Baltimore. That's where it gets a little bit, it struck me a little bit like managing by spite. And that, like, oh, fans, you want to see Lenin Sosa? Okay, he's batting first. He's getting more at-bats than anybody. Are you happy? That's kind of how I read it. Looking at the lineup card itself. I don't know if that's true, but, you know, when you're attuned to not getting what you want, when you get what you want, then you wonder what the catch is.
Jim Margalis is my guest. Sox Machine is where you can find him. We're talking White Sox here on The Score. I talked earlier about what seems to be, I pointed to that, and I pointed the way coaches and managers will use players to send messages that they're letting, almost like, I confess he did it. This guy's up here. The manager says he's hot as a pistol. I'm not going to play him. What do you think of that? Oh, you want me to play him? All right, I'm going to lead him off. Like you said, I remember the famous story that Big Cat Williams tells about Cade McNown is you wanted him, you got him, and he left Cade McNown in for the worst quarterback performance ever. And that was that was Dick Geron's revenge on all the people who wanted Cade McNown to play. And these kind of messages get sent. I remember covering a lot of what Mike Keenan did and Bob Pulford and how they would do that back and forth. This guy's not going, oh, okay, we're going to put this guy here. Well, look what he did. Look what he didn't do. And I, along with Tony La Russa's loud and inconsistent defense or using as an offensive weapon analytics, I tied that all together as what we suspected was a fracture in that front office, manager's office relationship, and now it seems, in my world, I'm connecting those dots. Are you doing that too? Do you see more of it seeping out, or am I just a conspiracist who's never met a conspiracy he didn't want to embrace?
I try to check those impulses just because, you know, just with all the vibes coming off the White Sox and just how unpopular the hire of Tony La Russa was in the first place, you know, I try to temper my impulses to say, like, you know, draw everything back to him and just that he screwed up everything, because I think, you know, a lot of it could be true, but also it just can get in a way where you're just railing and railing and not actually, like, close to the big picture. And in this case, like, to me, it's hard to separate, you know, that, you know, the, you know, maybe more petty gestures and reactions versus just the fact that it seems like everybody's hurt and everybody's playing less than 100%, and you know, nobody can run 100%, and you know, like, there was that weird moment couple games ago where, you know, Luis Robert did not run. He didn't run a first. He could have turned a single into an easy double, but he had to settle for a single. And Steve Stone said he was dogging out of the box. Then after the game, La Russa said that Robert's dealing with leg soreness. And then he sits the next day, and then he starts the day after. And, like, you don't know if this is, like, benching or if it's, you know, guys who can't run. And you can trust that they shouldn't run, because every time they do run the first base of the max effort, or every other time, they pull up lame. So it's, you know, it's basically like a minefield, those 90 feet. And you see that happen enough, and you think, like, okay, I understand it in these individual instances why the effort is lacking. But then you get to a point where just everybody's effort is lacking. And that's going to make the product seem flatter than it already is. And so I really can't separate that versus, you know, any kind of more minor moves to, you know, one, I think with Garcia, I think he loves Garcia and he wants desperately for him to get him, you know, back into a groove. Like, he had this in St. Louis. He loved Aaron Miles. He loved Skip Schumacher. Like, he loves him, a utility guy, you know, regardless of how well he's hitting, just manager's best friend. And even, you know, Joe McEwing, the 1 year they overlapped, I think, in St. Louis, he asked for a pair of McEwing spikes to remember him by. Like, he gets really attached to utility guys. So I think Garcia, you know, that part I don't think is spite, because for whatever reason, he just sees Garcia as a structural necessity on this roster. Cannot move, everything will collapse. When it comes to the move like Sosa going from 0 to 60 and can only, you know, get a couple of bats in a mop-up situation after a guy's hurt to batting leadoff in a game that feels, yeah, it's not a must win, but it, you know, feels like they really could stand to win it. Yeah, that feels a little bit sketchy. So, yeah, I wouldn't say, you know, put it in print and be at risk of libeling somebody, but just, you know, it's worth, given just how, you know, to put a vague point on it, you know, just the vibes are off and everything seems awry and askew, like, may as well just, you know, have that in your back pocket.
Jim Margalis, last question for you. Jim Margalis of the Sox Machine is my guest. Lucas Giolito, what's your level of concern, and how easily could it? I mean, 9.47 ERA in the last five starts, it's not going well. But what is your level of concern? How his history of being able to figure things out, sometimes it takes an off season. Where are you with Lucas Giolito?
think my a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say it's about a 6. I think the reason why it's not higher is that he seems healthy. The velocity is usually where it is. You know, my read on him is that the spin rate on his fastball is down, and I think, you know, with his mix being so unusual, you know, being able to float those changeups in any count to any hitter, righty or lefty, you know, you don't see many pitchers being able to do that. And I think we're seeing in this recent stretch why most pitchers are not able to throw changeups on a regular basis to right-handed hitters, because, you know, it just breaks right into their wheelhouse if they see it or can adjust for it. And I think with the spin rate down, like, the fastball doesn't have the kind of jump it normally has, and that just might make the changeup more hittable. And from that point, he needs to rely on his slider more, and the slider is his third pitch, not his second pitch. So I think it's, you know, his pitch arsenal, his construction, the way he goes about strategizing for it, it might be more delicate than it is for somebody like Gavin or Dylan Cease, who can just kind of rotate between his fastball and his slider, depending on which one he wants to throw more. So, you know, personally, I think, you know, it might take a little bit of time for him to realize what he's doing wrong in the fastball. I think my concern, the reason why it's only a 6 is because he seems healthy, and also because, like, Johnny Cueto's been a godsend, and Lance Lynn improved from his last time out, Dylan Cease improved from his last time out, Michael Kopech's been fine, so this rotation is good, and even, like, Giolito struggling now, like, he's, you know, if he's the fifth starter for the time being, you know, that's better than most rotations. So, you know, I look at it as the rotation is really not the issue. It's, it really comes down to the offense and enough position players being healthy and being able to provide enough leads to give the bullpen an, you know, easy series once in a while.
Well, that's about the happiest note we've hit on in this course of the interview. So I don't want to chance it. I don't want to go back down the other way. Jim, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Oh, always a pleasure.
Jim Margalis of Sox Machine. There you go. Hit home runs. Everybody else is. Maybe this will be the Lenin Sosa game. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We'll take a break. We will take you up to Cubs pregame with Zach Zabeman at 12:40. And I have Cesar Perez. Before we go to break, I want to... Are you a nerd? Are you a nerd, a geek, or you have, because I have a really
in
good
what way? In what way are you saying a nerd? In what way?
Are you a Star Wars nerd?
Yes, I am definitely a Star Wars nerd.
Okay, so I have a Star Wars nerd note, and I have a wonderful hockey quote, and another hockey question for my my texters who live in hockey land, and we don't talk about it, but I just wanted to bring this up. I bring that up too. But we have a nerd note. I know Studs is there, right? Isn't he a Star Wars nerd? Isn't he a
Studs is right next to me, and he's very excited that you mentioned Star Wars.
Okay. Well, this would be something that Studs would like to have himself, I would imagine. So we'll discuss that. He can open up a mic if he wants. I'm Steve Rosenblum. It's Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Steve Rosenblum. It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Wow. The march. He's playing the march. Look at that production, Cesar Perez. Broadcasting from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I'm Steve Rosenblum. News and notes before we get out of here. Dan Weider of the Tribune tweeted... 9 o'clock hour this morning, the Bears have finalized the rookie contract of DB Kyler Gordon, the team's top pick in April's draft. So, that apparently why he was not practicing, make sure he's got a contract, and now he's done. And while they were off on their vacation, the Bears had another player arrested. Wow, this is quite the culture change that we were all clamoring for. Bears linebacker Matt Adams was arrested Thursday night in Chicago on a misdemeanor charge of unlawful firearm possession, according to police. He also was cited for having high-capacity magazines and metal-piercing bullets, a violation of city code. So Byron Pringle was arrested for reckless driving and doing donuts with a suspended license with child in the car. And boy, is this just a whole new era. What a regime change this has been with the face planting rookie general manager, Ryan Poles. and the Hits principal coach. I had written down Hits principal for Matt Eberflus. He is the stooge, H-I-T-S. And a texter did it better, 206 texter. Don't you know Matt Eberflus said Hits stands for he's in the slammer. Nicely played. All right, Caesar, Trash Panda.
Yo, what up?
Nexus. We're at the nexus of nerds and the national pastime. Sean Doolittle, we talked about him on this show. Sean Doolittle, reliever, and his wife, Iran, I think, What Would Do Do? That was their Twitter, one of their Twitter accounts. So he reached 10 years in the majors. To celebrate that, his Nationals teammates bought him a Darth Vader mask.
That's dope.
It was signed by David Prowse, the actor who was in the suit for the original trilogy.
They couldn't get James Earl Jones, huh?
Yeah.
Say, wait, one at a time.
They couldn't get James Earl Jones to sign it too? Just the
guy in the suit?
He wasn't
in the suit. David Prowse wore the mask.
That's true. All right. Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, you got to get both of them to get the full essence.
That would be good. And that's not to say it might not happen, but I just thought the nexus of nerds and the national pastime. What if you got that, Studs, Caesar? You got you nerds. I mean, imagine the surprise. Rank it for me. Where would that be?
The surprise on a scale of 10. Scale of 10, yeah. I'd probably put that at about a 7. That's pretty cool.
I've always thought a Boba Fett one would be really cool. They sell the Boba Fett ones too, and I've always thought, man, that would be really cool to have one of those Boba Fett helmets that he wears.
I don't know why they don't do the cross tie-in with Boba ice cream. I would think that that's the natural, the dessert and the Boba Fett, and do the whole thing like that. But I guess they don't need it. Okay, I just thought I wanted to share with my nerd producers that little note. You can appreciate it.
I heard something. I can't remember where I read this, and so, but I did hear that when they were filming the original trilogy, specifically the first movie, A New Hope, right? They didn't tell the guy in the suit that he wasn't going to be the voice also. So he's like doing all the lines for Vader in this like passionate way and delivering them. And then, you know, they dubbed him over with James Earl Jones.
Yeah, that was David Prowse. So they didn't get to see him with his sad face, with his unhappy face.
Yeah, but they didn't. Doolittle, I just think it's so funny that he's doing all these lines and he had no idea they were going to dub him over.
So you, White Sox fan over there, Lenin Sosa leads off today for the White Sox. And he was, as his titular general manager, Rick Hahn, said, hot as a pistol. And this hot streak started with something like he was the player of the month in the Southern League for May, and he slashed .351, .388, .649. His hot streak took a big spike with a single against the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Hell yeah!
There you go. That's it. It's your team.
Love
it's your
it.
Name.
Love it.
It's whatever.
Okay. Oh, did you? All right. So since I have you, all right, Steve, there is a team in Springfield, a baseball team. I can't remember what league they're in, but they're called the Springfield Horseshoes, which is amazing. You know that you know what a horseshoe is, right? Not the thing that goes on the foot of a horse, but like the dish, the horseshoe, the food, the culinary item. Or am I?
I do not.
I'm not speaking your language.
A horseshoe here? That is, are you going to be able to explain this on the radio? Or would,
yeah.
Would you jeopardize the license?
We need to get it's a central Illinois staple, specifically in Springfield. You can't really get it in much other places. But and I know you're running out of time. I didn't mean to steal the show here. But it's basically a piece of Texas toast and then some kind of meat item, usually a burger, covered in fries and then covered in cheese sauce. It's amazing. But there's a team in Springfield that is named after that food item now. And it's awesome. I need their hat.
What does their hat look like?
It's a picture of their logo is a horseshoe, like the food item. and their colors
their
are like
blue.
Their logo
is a cheese-covered French fry hamburger.
Yes, it's amazing.
Who could resist that? All right, thanks, Trash Panda. Or Horseshoe, I guess we'll just call you Horseshoe, whatever it is. And by the way, happy anniversary, belated happy anniversary to Sweet Alice and Shooter. You tweeted out that picture. They were quite the hippies. Your dad had the 70s hair and mom had the dress and she was going to San Francisco with flowers in her hair. Dude, that was a shot. All right. Thank you, people, for listening to Saturday Suckage. Cesar Perez for producing this thing. We had Mark Schnowski on from Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast, and we had Jim Margalis on from Sox Machine. If nobody important listened, we'll be back next week. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.